B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
All right, it's 4 o'clock hour. Mike Missinelli Show on 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia today with Charles Barkley and James Ennis on. It's a big festive day here.
Absolutely. Man.
Charles, man.
Good thing
57 more pounds would mean you lot would lose how many?
Right at 88. Right at 90. I told you I'd gained 100.
That's pretty good, though, if you can lose 57 more.
No, I got to get in shape, man. I'm tired of being fat. People can't even see the good looking stuff because I'm so fat. They can't get past my gut.
So you got to buy wardrobes all the time, don't you?
Oh, I got two. I got a fat wardrobe and a skinny wardrobe. Yeah, I got an all black wardrobe too. I do. I got a skinny wardrobe, a good wardrobe, and I got an all black wardrobe
to make you look slimmer.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I guess you got to do that.
Yeah, but I'm. You know what? I can't keep yo-yoing like that. And like I say, it's time. Sometimes you got to look in the mirror and say, "Hey, I'm better than this."
Good for you, man. Good luck with the 57.
Oh, dude, I don't need luck. Luck is a lottery. I'm gonna get it done.
Stay off the beers, you know.
Man, listen, now you're just talking crazy.
How many? Let me ask you this question. How many in one sitting? How many beers could you? Could you
I drink? Don't drink a lot of beer. I drink
in a day. You did though, didn't you?
Not really.
No?
I like the vodka and tequila.
I was just at the Hall of Fame induction a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
A certain Hall of Fame player drank 50 Miller Lights. On a Friday night.
That's a lot.
He played third base for the Boston Red Sox and the New York Yankees.
That same player, they said, drank 30 at a WWE wrestling event in the stands.
Apparently he's legendary. Miller Lite is what he drinks.
Yep, 30.
He happened to have my same name, which makes it even worse.
No, so your name isn't his what?
That's my middle name.
Wade? Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right, Wade. Charles Wade Barkley. I forgot about your middle name being Wade.
Oh, Lord.
We just got an email. He said, did you blame the Warriors for Durant getting hurt? I don't recall you did that. Did you do that?
Yeah.
You did?
Yeah. They shouldn't have put him out there.
Durant came out and said,
he had to say that.
He'd have to. He's not even playing with him anymore.
He didn't want to throw him under the bus. They shouldn't have put him out there. You know how I know they shouldn't have put him out there? Because he got hurt. That's exactly what I said on air. I said, they're like, well, it's nobody's fault. Yes, it is. The people who put him out there.
Did you say that before he got hurt? That he shouldn't play?
Oh, yeah. Of course I did.
Yeah?
I said, he shouldn't play. And then when he got hurt, I said, see, I told you he shouldn't have played. And, I told him that. Mm-hmm. They shouldn't have put him out there. First of all, you think about this, Mike. The guy, you don't throw a guy out there in game six who hadn't played in a month.
Not pressure to play him, though.
You're trying
to win a championship.
But there's a reason he hadn't played in a month.
I know, but could you hold a guy out when you got the championship at stake?
Yeah. Listen, Mike.
You know what the fans wanted him to play? He wanted to play.
And they might have ruined his career.
Nah, he's fine. He'll be fine.
Well, we don't know that yet. Has nobody ever come back from an Achilles?
Yeah, some people come back from an Achilles.
Yeah, they come back, but they're not the same.
Somebody came back from an Achilles the same, right?
Nobody's ever came close
in
to
basketball?
Me.
Yeah,
no.
No, there was Rudy Gay was the same. He wasn't as great a player. No, but that's not his fault. He came back the same, is what we said. He was a good player. He came back a good player.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, he was a good player that came back a good player.
Rudy's logic.
Can you believe he gets...
Why did he get worse?
When you said Rudy Gay, his head popped off.
I didn't say Rudy Gay was going to the Hall of Fame. I said Rudy Gay was the same. He came back the same.
Yeah, Rudy. First of all, that's the only time Rudy Gay and Kevin Durant have been missing the same setup before.
Has any player contacted you directly to chew your ass out?
A bunch of
really?
Them.
Really?
But I tell
like,
him.
What's that conversation like?
I tell him exactly what I said.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm like, Mike, I got to do my job.
Yeah, you do. But I just wondered if anybody contacted you directly.
Oh yeah. Many times.
They yelling at you?
Yeah, but
they F-bombing you?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Oh yeah.
And you just say, listen, man.
I'm like, yo.
Sorry you feel that way, but that's.
No. I says, hey. Just calm down for a second. Let me explain why I said what I said. Then if you disagree after that, but you know what's so funny? None of these guys ever call me when I tell them how great they are.
Well, you know, like,
you know, they never call me when I tell them how great they are. Like, I've been saying that Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons going to be the best two players in the league in the next 5 years.
They never call you.
They never call and say, hey, thanks for having me. The one time I got on Joel about being out of shape, he takes shots at me. But he never calls, hey, man, thanks for saying me and Ben going to be two of the best players in the league in the next 5 years. I said that, so I think it was probably 3 years ago. They invited me and Billy Cunningham. Actually, Ben broke his foot the next week before at training camp. So we went over to watch Ben and Joel practice. And me and Billy look at each other like, these guys going to be the best combination in NBA for the next 10 to 15 years. And like I said, that's how long ago it was. Ben broke his foot. I says, neither one of these guys can be stopped. I said, when this guy learned how to shoot the ball and this other guy, if he can stay healthy, the NBA ain't going to have no chance against these two guys. And I've been saying that for X amount of years. They never called me and said, thank you. But when I criticize one of them, or they take shit. But that doesn't bother me. I'm going to do my job.
Good for you, man.
I mean, I got criticized before. I didn't go crazy. First of all, you have to ask yourself, was the criticism fair? But like I say, my most famous one was, remember the night Kobe Bryant wouldn't shoot the ball in the game? We had that game. And Ernest says, you don't look in a good mood. I says, and we're on the air. I says, I didn't like what Kobe Bryant did right tonight. He wouldn't shoot the ball. It wasn't right. He was trying to prove a point. I ain't got no help. He says, I had a serious problem with that. So, you know, we go to like 2:30 in the morning. So Kobe starts calling me about 3 o'clock in the morning, MFing me.
Wait, you picked up the
phone? No.
Oh, he leave a message?
No, he's texting.
Oh, he's texting you. Okay.
He's MFing me, and I'm like, yo, man, I didn't like what you did. I saw what you did. You only took one shot in the second half. You were trying to prove a point that didn't prove a point, blah, blah, blah. 5 minutes later, I get another text. Blah, blah, blah. I mean, MFing me, called me. I said, yo, man. So we text back and forth for like an hour and a half. But his was all profane. I said, yo, man, just pick up the phone and call me. He never called me. We texted for like 2 hours, and it was hilarious. Next time I saw him, you know, we made up. But, like, it was hilarious. Like, he texted me. We texted each other for 2 hours from like 3 o'clock to 5 o'clock in the morning. All his was profane. And the thing that was funny, Phil Jackson actually said it in the press conference later. He says, yeah, I did not like that at all. Many players, some agents, but I don't.
So you know you're going to get it. The phone that somebody calls and it's like so-and-so.
Yeah,
But you answer it all the time.
But I'm not a Skip Bayless guy just say stuff to get people to click and make a point. Like, I'll explain to you exactly why I said something. I'm never going to do that because I respect the players too much. Mm-hmm. But if they do something wrong, I'm okay. Like,
your phone just lit up. I think it's Kobe.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the phones. Jack in South Philly. Jack, you're on with Charles.
Yo, Mike, great show again.
Thanks, Jack.
Thank you, sir.
Charles, you too, Charles. Nice seeing you again, pal. Charles, I'm 100% behind you with the Ben Simmons. I don't see it in him. You were saying, like, the Magic Johnson became a great shooter and so did Michael, but then two guys were the first ones in and the last ones out. I don't see this kid doing it, man. I really don't. I don't see it in him. And you don't know how bad I want to see it in him, but I just don't.
Hey, listen, it's fair. Your criticism is fair. Listen.
Now, somebody like you would know. Do you see it in him? Or you don't want to go there?
I'm going to give him a chance because he's still a young kid. This is the moment of truth. When you give a guy $170 million, you're all in. Like, when you write a guy a check for $170 million and you got to pay him no matter what, the team is all in. Now it's up to Ben. And
Mike, you got to let me tell. I didn't mean to interrupt you, Charles. I don't want to get cut off. You got to let me tell this old story, Charles. I met you one time with Moses. But as soon as you mentioned Moses earlier, I said I have to call and reach out, try to remind Charlie of the story.
Go ahead, man.
You were coming out of the Roxy one night up on 2nd and South, and I was taking a ride with my buddy Vinny, and I said, Vin, back up. There goes Charles Barkley. So we backed up back down South Street and went down 2nd Street. And when we pulled up, we were going crazy because we were big. We're from born and raised in South Philly. You know, you were our boy back then. So you go like this to us. Pull over, guys. I got a surprise for you. We pulled over, and we go over to your car, and you were with Moses, my buddy Vinny.
Wow.
And Sir,
look at that.
Wow, we were going nuts, man. We were going nuts. No, wait, Mike, I'm not done. My buddy Vinny was going, Moses, I love you. I've always worn number two. We were freaking out, man, because he was one of our favorites. Forget about it. We don't win without him back then. That's it. We don't win with him without him back then.
Jack.
So anyway, yo, Charles, then about a year later, I'm in the saloon, and I approach you, and I tell you that story. You remembered the story, and you brought me in the date. I was with a drink.
Well, you know, he does that all the time.
I love the saloon, man.
Yeah, the saloon is good. It's still a good joint.
Yeah,
isn't it?
It's still a good joint.
It's the other place, but back in your heyday, it was the place.
It was the place.
Yep.
It was so funny. When you walk in the saloon and you see all those old mob guys in there.
Yeah,
and they were awesome.
Like back then, they were awesome.
You see them on television, they just look at you and acknowledge you. And I used to love going there. It was awesome.
Yeah, good steak at the saloon and good pasta.
Oh, just
but
great.
But what are your top five clubs back in the day? Top five, because you were out and about.
The place right up there.
You used to go to the library.
The library.
The library. I knew you went there.
Carney's.
Carney's. Where was Carney's?
Carney's is right where PCOM is now.
Okay.
It was right there. Enchante.
Oh, Enchante was big. Yeah. Enchante was in Cherry Hill, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
It was always good on Monday night. We used to always look at the schedule. What are we doing on a Monday night? We're going to Enchante. Cahoots.
What was the place at the Warwick?
Oh, yeah, that was good. That was good.
I can't remember the name of the place at the Warwick.
The place at the top of the Warwick. The place out in King of Prussia in the hotel was really good. There was a place way out on Route 1. I can't even remember. Pulsations, I think, might have been.
Yeah, Pulsations in Delaware County.
So the places down on Front Street were really good. I forget. I think he said
Roxy. He said Roxy.
Roxy, but there was another place down there. It had like initials. But Philly had great clubs, man.
Yeah, and you were there all the time.
Hey, listen,
you loved the city. You were out and about all the time.
I was a 23-year-old guy making money.
Yeah, you were.
Yeah. Come on, bro.
Listen, this guy just sent me a picture. This is hysterical. This is a recent picture of you coming out of Home Depot with a basket of like 10-gallon jugs of Bug Killer. What is that about?
Well, first of all, I was putting it up around the perimeter
of your house,
of the condo.
Because
I like
you got a lifetime supply of Bug Killer.
No. I use all that in one time. I just put I just go around the entire built side of the building and just like kind of flood the area so any bugs come across. Mike, I'm a clean fanatic, man.
I see that.
So this guy got me.
He's got a picture of you. It's the carriage with Bug Killer.
Yeah.
The carriage is filled with Bug Killer.
Yeah. And I take the little lid off and just go do a little perimeter.
And you have no bugs all summer?
I'm hoping. I do it at the beginning of the summer and at the end of the summer.
It looks like ortho.
I think it was.
That's the good stuff.
Yeah, I want the good stuff, Ty.
Yeah, maybe it's the generic stuff.
Come on, man.
Could be the generic stuff.
Chuck don't.
Could be the Bobo stuff.
I'm like Moses. Moses don't do defer. Moses don't do defer. Chuck don't do generic. I would tell you know, Harold Cash tells the story. We had our famous Sixer dinner the other night. And Harold throws his dinner every year. And he tells this great story about Moses Malone. And Billy Cunningham was there. And John Nash, who was the general manager at the time, and they negotiate this contract. So they end up meeting for like 3 hours, 4 hours with Moses and his agent. I think his name is Lee Fentress. And they sit there for like 3 or 4 hours doing all the numbers. And Mo don't say anything. Moses didn't speak a lot. When he spoke, he's like E.F. Hutton. He didn't say anything for like 3 hours, and finally they said, well, we got this deal, Moses, done, and you're going to be the highest paid player in the NBA, blah, blah, blah. You're going to get this mother fur. And Moses, ho, ho, ho. Big Mo don't do the fur. Big Mo don't do the fur. And Harold's like, Moses, we've been sitting here for 3 hours, 4 hours. We got you a deal. Like, no, no, no. Big Mo don't do the fur. And, hey, Harold Katz and John Nash and Billy are telling this story. And Big Mo don't do the fur.
With the cash in hand.
No defer. No defer. and that was like Moses. He wouldn't say anything, but he's like, no, no, Big Mo don't do the fur. And that's why he referred to himself to Big Mo.
That's hysterical. Greg in Lancaster. Greg, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Greg. Yo, Greg. Greg's not there. Oh, crap. So, there he was. Just when I had my hand up. Greg, call.
That's on Greg.
Call right back. Sorry, man. I thought you weren't there.
You did say Greg twice.
Yep. All right, Sean in Upper Darby. Sean, you're a 97.5 The Fanatic. Sean.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's going on, Sean?
Sir Charles.
Yes, sir.
Grew up, man, just watching you, loving you. I believe you are the, like, ideal Philadelphia guy, man. Like, tough, just, you know, all that stuff.
But, Thank you. Thank you, brother.
Yeah, man, look, and I don't want to, you know, go on too long, but you were talking about somebody drinking, like, 30 Miller Lights in a night. Yo, bro. I could do that. No problem.
The report I got at the Hall of Fame was that Wade did 50.
Wow.
On a Friday night.
It's a lot more than 30.
That's crazy.
That's 20 more.
That's crazy, man.
But listen, real quick. So, Chuck, I believe the finals this season is going to be Sixers-Clippers.
Well, first of all, I'm already got the Sixers in the finals. I got a couple questions with the LA teams. First of all, Kawhi Leonard, he load managed 22 games last year. That's not going to work in the West. If he missed 22 games, I don't even think the Clippers will get home court the first round of the playoffs.
Wow.
Man, think about it. Remember last year he load managed 22 games. That only works in the East. It will not work in the West. That's my first question about the Clippers. Also,
I've heard a lot of people saying that putting Kawhi and then Paul George on that team was almost like putting Kawhi on Toronto when they were already like a set team. You know, so it's like, you know, they really didn't lose that much.
Oh, no. No, wait a minute. I'm just saying this. If Kawhi misses 22 games in the West, that's not the same as missing 22 games in the East.
Right.
And also, you know, Paul George just had his second shoulder surgery, so they're not even sure when he's going to come back. So that's my first question. He's had surgery on both his shoulders the last couple of years. That's the question. Now, LeBron, how healthy is he going to be? Can LeBron and Anthony Davis both stay healthy? Anthony Davis hasn't played a whole season in a long time. Those are fair and legitimate questions with the Lakers, both L.A. teams. But before people pick the Clippers to win, how many games is Kawhi going to play?
So you're just saying for seeding. By playoff time, both those teams will be contenders.
Yeah, but if they don't, they're not going to go on the road and just win. Listen. I'm not sure Denver and Utah aren't the best two teams in the West.
You think Denver and Utah have a chance to be 1 or 2 seeds?
Yes.
Really?
First of all, Denver was the number 2 seed last year.
Mm-hmm.
But Utah probably had, other than the Clippers, had the best offseason as far as free agency. Get Mike Conley and Bogdanovich to go with the players they got. Utah is loaded. Man, the West is crazy.
They're a nice team. They play well together.
They play well, but getting Mike Conley was the one weak spot they had was the point. Ricky Rubio, Mike Conley might be the perfect point guard for that guy.
Do the Clippers and Lakers have enough from 1 to 8?
They don't. That's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be, I mean, they're bringing in Dwight Howard.
Yeah, what do you think of that?
That's desperation.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that's desperation.
You don't think that he'll figure it out that he's playing with a team that can win a championship and play actually play?
I think the last 4 years, and he's been on 4 different teams, everybody thought the same thing. I thought Dwight when he got traded to, when he signed with Atlanta, I thought that was going to be the perfect scenario. He's home. He got all his family and friends. He going to come to Atlanta. They traded him after 1 year.
That was the good Atlanta team with Budenholzer, right?
I mean, you think about it, though. Mm-hmm. He's from Atlanta. He goes there. They, like, after 1 year, they're like, you're not worth us selling. First of all, you know, they probably could sold more, so a bunch of tickets in his hometown. It's a stable environment with all his family and friends around. That didn't work.
Didn't work.
And the Hawks were stinking at the time.
So if it doesn't work for like the first couple of months, LeBron's got the thumb out?
Well, yeah, they already said that. They said that the other day when he signed the deal.
Yeah.
They said none of his money is guaranteed. If he does anything wrong, he's out.
Yeah, he's getting paid literally.
He's getting
paid weekly.
Yes.
And they can cut him at any time.
Yeah.
And LeBron will make that call soon enough.
No. Yeah. But so, like, it's question marks about both of those teams.
All right. 610-622-0975. We're back after this. 975 Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly.
The Mike Missinelli Show. The Fanatic.
All right, 4:30. Mike Missinelli Show. And Charles Barkley is here till 6. The summer pilgrimage of Charles. Coming back to the area. We'll talk about that in a second. Right now, let's get a Twitter poll update with Nat. Brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Nat.
Yes, Mike, we have over 2,000 votes on this one today. Do you accept Sean Rodriguez's apology? 30% say yes, 70% say no.
How about last night? He strikes out. And he almost, it was just like a standing ovation. He struck out. Man.
You gotta leave these fans alone, man.
Man, I'll tell you what, they came after him big time.
They booed him when he comes up the bat. And it looked like shook him up.
He got
like
the first night he gets hit with a pitch. And then he struck out.
You gotta
last
let
night.
The lead the fans alone, man.
That apology's not gonna cut it.
You criticized the fans occasionally, didn't you?
No. The fans have always treated me great here. I mean, they've always treated me great. And I got love and respect for them. I think, listen, if you give maximum effort, which I gave maximum effort, I think you can always, you get treated good here. Like, you know, two of my favorite players, the two Philadelphia guys, are Brian Dawkins and Ron Hextall. And those two guys, they always got treated good here.
And they're loved forever for
it. Yes.
And Allen Iverson's the same.
And Allen Iverson's the same. If you give maximum effort, and like I said, we've all done some things wrong. I know I've done some things wrong. But if you give maximum effort, the people will treat you good here.
All right, the emailers are coming in because we couldn't think of some clubs that were hot in the day. Monte Carlo living room on South Street.
Yeah, I used to love that place because you could go and have a nice meal and then go upstairs.
Yep.
I liked it because it was really kind of, you could call it a nightclub, but it was like really like a low-key nightclub. Yeah,
it was cool.
Yeah,
here are the places at the Warwick. Elan,
that's it.
And then it went to Polo, changed to Polo Bay.
Yeah. Oh, yes, exactly right. You know what the best place was? Fridays on City Line Avenue.
Yeah, Fridays was a joint.
It was great. And
AI made it his place for a while.
Yeah.
He was more of a Houlihan's guy, but TGI Fridays.
That Fridays was like the number one in the country
back
then.
Yeah, it was
What was, like, it's a Target now. It was the Adams Mark Hotel. And they had a bar. A club.
I forget what that club was called. Yeah. But you did a lot of hanging out at Bridget Foy's.
Oh, yeah. John and Bernadette. Because that was the only place to eat after the game.
Yeah.
First of all, I love John and Bernadette. That place burned down. Is it back up yet?
I don't know. I haven't been down that way in a while.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's back up yet.
So, John and Bernadette kept that thing open for the players. We went there pretty much every night. You know, by the time you get showered and meet with the press, it's 11 o'clock at night. And only, like, on certain nights, there's not going to be any place to eat. But they, my man Joe Tao was the bartender. But John and Bernadette were great people. We used to go there pretty much after every game, the guys. And it was crazy there.
Yeah, they were viable. I mean, they're still viable. A long time to stay viable
in
the city. All right, back to the phones. Dave in Center City's checking in. What's up, Dave?
Yo, Charles, what's shaking?
What's up, Dave?
These are all the clubs I would burn you out in with my conversation back in the day. The Boots inside the Stadium Hilton. Polo Bay inside the Warwick.
Yep.
Franchine's.
Oh, which, yes.
Which Rick Mahorn bought, and it became Mahorn.
Yeah.
And then, of course, this famous night, I think you were thinking of PT's on Front and Market.
That's it, PT's.
Yeah, PT's. Dude, was a spot.
Wheel of Fortune was in town to do a Philadelphia filming. It was like their second year. Dude, you put the moves on Vanna White. It was the best night of my life.
Come on, man. Come on, Dave. What's your sixth question? Vanna White.
Charles, let me go back to your rookie year, which was 2 years after we won the title.
Yes.
Well, the year before, we lose in the best of three series to a very angry Darryl Dawkins and the New Jersey Nets. Now, don't get me wrong. I love Mark Ivoroni. I've drank with him. He's a good dude. But I think if that was your rookie year, you may have gotten a chip that year. Just my thought. And I know your rookie year was nice. You played every game, 14 points a game, but only if it were a year earlier. Your feedback on that, sir?
I wasn't ready. I needed to lose those 50 pounds. My first year was just, I was just a guy. I started getting everything together my second year, but listen, man, it's hard for rookies. It's hard for rookies to make. I mean, you look at the NBA now. My man down in Dallas is a terrific player, but Dallas didn't even sniff the playoffs. Luka Doncic. Like, when's the last time? There's very seldom a rookie going to make an impact in the NBA. To be honest with you.
Well, the rookies today.
The rookies today
Three players that are really worthy that you think are going to make a difference in the NBA. Draft class was amazing.
Yeah, we were amazing. But think about it, though. Michael got hurt, but Akeem and Sam, I don't think they made a difference.
Yeah, no, Sam didn't.
It's going to be difficult.
Let me ask you this, because you were an amazingly quick player for your size in college. When you came to the NBA, did you think there was a speed difference? Was it different at NBA speed? You were fast.
The difference is everybody's fast. That's what it comes in when you have to learn how to play. Because you can't outrun and jump people in the NBA. You have to actually have to learn how to play basketball. Like, you're not going to come in the NBA and out-jump. Let's look at the league now. You're not going to outrun and out-jump Russell Westbrook or Ben Simmons or Steph Curry or Klay Thompson. You got to learn how to play basketball. You got to work on your skills. Like, because, you know, realistically, the NBA or any pro level, that's the first time you're going to play against guys as good as you. Like, in high school, I think I played against two guys who were on my level. And I probably played against 10 guys on my level in college. When we played Kentucky, when they had Bowie and Turpin and those guys, Dominique Wilkins at Georgia. They had a couple guys at Florida who played in the NBA. But you don't play against. Now, but when you get to the NBA, you ain't going to be better than most of the players.
You're not going to be guys down the floor.
No, you're going to have to learn how to play basketball. That's why, you know, people are comparing Zion Williams to me because we're both undersized power forwards. I says, well, he's going to have to get a lot better as a basketball player because, you know, he's bigger and stronger than everybody at Duke, Clemson, Wake Forest. But when he get into the NBA, we're going to have some dudes waiting on him like, uh-oh.
Yeah, he's going to have to find a niche. I was going to ask you about him. Like, what kind of NBA player can he be with this specialized NBA that we see today?
Well, I'm concerned. I'm concerned. Because I'm smart enough to know he would have been a better player in my day. Where we just physical talent, beat the hell out of each other. Now, I'm smart enough to know me chasing all these little munchkins around out on the perimeter shooting threes would have been harder for me to do. And that's what he's going to have to do today. You know, he's going to have to guard a three guy or a four guy out on the floor. And I wonder if he's going to always be in foul trouble. So I pull for that kid because he seems like a great kid. Seems like a great kid. But I think it's going to be interesting what position he plays in the NBA. And let's just take an example. Let's just take we shouldn't use the Warriors because they didn't win. Like on how Toronto just won.
Mm-hmm.
Is he going to guard Pau Gasol? Not Pau Gasol, Marc Gasol. Mm-hmm. He's too big for him. He can't guard him either, but they're not just going to run one-on-ones for Zion. You know, there's nobody who he would guard.
Yeah, he's an in-between guy.
Yeah, he is.
He's going to develop a Charles Barkley role in the NBA.
Yeah, he's going to have to. And like I say, I'm smart enough to know it would have been a lot harder for me today trying to guard all these little dudes out on the floor. Like, I'm going to have an advantage on one end of the floor, but I might always be in foul trouble chasing these guys, these little three-point shooters around.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. John Newcastle is up next with a question for Charles. With Charles Barkley, Mike Missinelli's show continues right here on 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly.
The Mike Missinelli Show. The Fanatic.
All right, 4:45, Mike Missinelli's show. Phillies and Mets tonight. Phillies still hanging in there.
Tomorrow night,
that's right. They have a day off. Another day off? Come on, man, these baseball players.
Hey, they got the Sunday night game here this week.
Against the Mets?
Yeah. That's a big ESPN game.
You serious? Who's pitching that game Sunday?
Yeah, it's Sunday night.
There's no pitching?
ESPN been talking about it. That's the big game this week. Does that mean A-Rod and the big group going to be here?
Yep.
Yeah, that'd be. Let me look at the pitching matchup.
What's the pitching matchup that Sunday night game?
No, Nola's pitching tomorrow.
He's pitching tomorrow?
Vargas is going against Mets on Saturday.
Well, they're going to miss. What's the name of the guy?
Syndergaard and
Syndergaard got shelled last night.
But you got.
He did get.
You got Stroman. You know who's going against him?
Stroman against who?
Old Eflin.
Oh, no.
That's a lost Sunday.
Eflin and Stroman.
But Vargas could beat Mets. And Nola could beat Wheeler.
Yeah.
So you got to win the first two if you want to win the series. Nola's got to get them off to a good start.
Well, the Mets have lost five in a row.
Yeah, they're struggling.
They're struggling.
So they had that little streak where they came back and won every game for like 2 weeks. But they lost five in a row, so the Phillies should finish them off.
There's one team the Phillies got to worry about now, though. The Chicago Cubs.
But they're gaining on them. The Cubs in a free fall now.
The Cubs are up two.
Yeah, but I'm saying they've lost four in a row.
They have? The Cubs?
Yeah, they got swept by the Nationals at home. That's why I said they're gaining on the Phillies. They backing up.
You're high on this Phillies team.
You know what? I watch the Phillies a lot, so I root for the Phillies, and they're making it fun.
They're making it agony. This is agony to follow this team.
Listen, they're still in it with a month to go. That's all you can ask.
They're agonizing.
Let me ask you a question.
They lose to the Marlins. They come back, they win two. They lose to the Pirates.
They can't win more than
four in a row.
Before the season started, did you have them making the playoffs?
Yes. Hell yes. They signed Bryce Harper. They put together a lineup that was supposed to bash teams. Yes, I thought they were going to make the playoffs. Am I going to lower my expectations?
Well, listen, I think if they make the playoffs, it'll be a successful year.
I want to send you out to pitch for that team. You be a good starter on that rotation.
So that's my point.
Why?
Because I ain't going to talk bad about them. So you don't like the rotation. They are two games
they're
out.
They're killing people in this city. Do you not know
what
that?
I'm saying? They're two games out.
Yeah.
You just sit there and said, I could pitch in a rotation.
You could.
And
because the rest of the teams lose.
But they're two games out.
they're not worthy of being only two games out. Let's just put that out. I hope they make the playoffs. I think they're going to fall short. But they have been a disappointment. The fans are getting, they're getting badgered by this team.
Let me tell you something. If you can avoid the Dodgers, you got a chance.
It's actually true.
What? You got a chance against who? The Braves?
You got a chance.
You think the Braves are that much better than the Phillies?
No, I don't think they're that much. No, well, I think my boy Josh Donaldson, that would have been a nice pickup for the Phillies.
Oh, he's your boy?
Yeah, he's an Auburn guy. He's my guy, yes. But the Braves don't scare you. Not the Dodgers.
No, they don't scare you, but they're a better team than the Phillies in a long series.
The Phillies ain't going to be in no long series.
You're higher on the Phillies than most of the fans are, man.
You're two games out of the wild card.
It's a one game. It's a one game playoff spot. Am I talking junk?
Yes,
when we came into this year, what were they talking about?
They were talking about winning the division.
Stop it. We won the division.
When McCutcheon was still there, they were supposed to score it.
They lost McCutcheon, too.
That hurt.
It hurt.
What they did last night was supposed to happen more often, and it was supposed to overcome the bad pitching. They had to fire the hitting coach.
Are you really talking about they bashed the Pirates? You think that's indicative of the other teams?
No. What I'm saying is what they did last night was supposed to happen against other teams. It was supposed to happen often. They would go put up a 12 spot, so it wouldn't matter what the pitchers did. They never put up 12 spots. That's the problem.
They were playing the Pirates.
What I'm saying, what was supposed to happen was against the Braves and the Cubs and other teams, they were supposed to put up a 12 spot so that the bad pitching wouldn't matter. They don't do that against the good teams.
Because the good teams got better pitching.
You were supposed to overcome it.
But they were supposed to know
that.
They were supposed to
overcome that by mashing. Pitching. They were supposed to be a mashing team.
But they also trusted a bad pitching staff, which is mismanagement.
Well, your man called them cheap because they gave one guy $330 million.
Well, they could have gotten a couple other pitchers. They believed in guys that can't pitch. That's the problem. And now, this is why they can't win more than four in a row. All year long, this team has had a four-game winning streak against the Max. The Mets won what, 15-16?
Yeah, that's the shortest streak for the Phillies.
Are you comparing the Mets?
No, I'm saying everybody else seems to be capable of winning more than four in a row. The Phillies aren't.
You just said they don't have enough pitching.
Well, yeah, but am I supposed to be happy about that? I'm supposed to say, well, look how nice it is that they're only two games out of a playoff spot.
We're going to make the playoffs.
I hope they do.
We're going to make the playoffs.
I'll bet you a couple drinks on that.
Okay, I got four drinks coming.
All right, John in Newcastle. John, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, John?
Mike, this is like the best show of the year, man.
thank you, sir.
Charles, I've been on hold for a long time, but I'm sitting on the couch, and I'd stay on hold all day to talk to one of my childhood heroes, man.
Oh, thank you, man.
Dude, you were great to watch. I even rooted for you in Phoenix and Houston, and I love watching you on TV. But, you know, we claim you as our own, man, and we're so proud of what you did on the court and your career after basketball and everything. And, I have two questions for you. One, a sports question, and I got a Dwight Howard question. But yeah. I love how you follow all sports, and even like when Nashville was in the Stanley Cup Finals and they had you on those broadcasts. Of the three sports, aside from basketball, which one do you enjoy following the most?
Well, by far and away, football and boxing are my two favorite sports because I think they are by far and away the people are crazy for doing it. I admire them. I think most people know I played football for one day. And I was like, y'all are crazy. I tell people I played football one day in high school. And I remember the last thing the coach said to me, he said, I'll see you tomorrow. I looked at him like, you think I'm stupid enough to do this more than one day? And I admire anybody who got the courage to play football or box for a living. So those are my two favorite sports.
Charles, I like when you tell a story about how, like, the basketball players at Auburn are eating one thing, and then you guys leave, and you see all the steaks come in for the football team.
it used to drive us crazy. They give us hamburgers and hot dogs, and then you see the you see Bo Jackson and Frank Thomas and all the guys come in and play football. They're like, you guys got to be out by 7. Like, why? The football team's coming in. And then you just, you know, you're looking up there, and they're like, wait, we got hamburgers and hot dogs. They getting steak and lobster. What the hell going on around here? I mean,
here's my Dwight Howard question. I remember Mike and Tyrone had a little argument, and I have to agree with Tyrone because early in his career, he does have a lot of awards and accomplishments, but Tyrone said he's going to be a Hall of Famer at the end of his career when you look at his accomplishments. And I think Mike disagreed with him, but I have to agree with Tyrone. I think he's made the Hall of Fame.
No way, Charles.
Well, you know what's interesting about Dwight Howard? I don't know. We almost blew up the internet about 3 years ago when we had Dwight on. And ESPN even talked about it. They said it wasn't one of the, we didn't even go to commercial. And my first question, I says, Dwight, every time I've been around you, you seem like a really nice guy. I haven't been around you a ton. I want to make that person clear. I said, I've been around you a few times. You seem like a nice guy. I don't think you're doing, I don't know a lot about you, but everybody hates you. I said, can you please explain to me? He says, and like the whole room is like, you could hear a pin drop. And I says, I'm not trying to insult you. I'm going back to Houston, the Lakers, you know, all these teams you've been on. And I says, all your relationships end badly. I said, can you explain? And I says, like I say, I want to make it clear. Every single time I've been around you, you've been cordial. I've never heard said a bad word about you, but I'm watching like everybody else. Like, you see James Harden, Kobe, the way it finished up in Orlando. I says, everybody hates you. Can you please explain to me why that's the deal? And he couldn't give me an answer. But I do agree with Tyrone. I think he's going to the Hall of Fame.
You do?
He's led the league in rebounding 5 times. He's an 8-time All-Star. He's a 3-time. I'm reading these stats that Tyrone put up here. He's led the league in rebounding 5 times. 8-time All-Star. 3-time Defensive Player of the Year.
But it doesn't connect to anything.
But that goes back to the question I was asking him. Like, some people gotta like you, right?
Well, with the general perception, and we gotta break here, but the general perception is he's kind of a mutt. For all the numbers he's put up, he always ends up as the mutt.
It's crazy, though.
But the people that vote know that. So they're not going to vote him in the Hall of Fame.
It's going to be interesting.
All right, we'll see. We'll take a break. We'll
okay,
come back.
Hey, America, he's going to get another product.
No, do I have it? What do I do? Oh, yeah, I do.
Uh-oh.
Oh, you know what it is? Here? Oh, Mercedes-Benz.
Oh, you got a Mercedes-Benz?
Uh-huh.
Wow. Now we're cooking.
All right. We'll take a break. We're back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.